Hello and welcome to episode 188 of Speak This Tea for October 14, 2023. I'm Marjolaine.
I'm Carolyn.
And I'm Shannon.
Yay, I'm back. Yay. It's just two episodes that I wasn't in, but it seems like, I don't know, many months, but no, it's just 1 month and a half.
It always feels like forever when someone's not on for like two episodes.
I've just done two in a row, and I'm not technically a host. I feel kind of amazing.
Yeah, and I'm so excited because I think, Caroline, it's the first time that we talk since LeakyCon, right?
Yep, it is.
I don't think we... Did we share an episode since then? I don't think so.
No. And I don't know if I was on one with you. Well, yeah. Maybe I was on one with you before that. So it's not like I've never done one with you. But yeah, not since
LeakyCon. No, yeah, but since we saw in real life.
I know, that was fun. I loved it.
Well, speaking of real life, this episode is sponsored by Speak Beastie Patreon supporter Colleen S, who is my sister.
Yay!
Hey, Colleen.
Thank you, Colleen.
Thank you, Colleen. She just had a baby, so
yeah.
I'm sure she's not listening.
Oh, and you're an aunt now. Yay! Or maybe you were already an aunt. I don't know.
No. This is the family's first baby.
Wow. So, everyone is fine?
It's crazy. Yep.
Cool.
he was supposed to come early, but then he decided to stay in there.
Fair
enough.
Basically,
until his due date.
I would do the same.
I've held him a couple times. I have no experience holding a baby, and he also looks really confused by the experience. So that's where we're at right now.
Oh, babies. I don't have any of those anymore.
Yeah. I have no plans to have any of my own. I'm good with this one. But let's take a look at the Phoenix Register.
And now a message from our sponsors.
Hey you! Yes you! The magical cats and dolls waving your wands like bean shooters in a caper. Looking to be on the up and up about Newt Scamander, famous zoologist and world traveler? No need for gossip at the juice joint. Just tune your ears to Speak Beastie. And now for as little as one dragon dollar a month, you can make Speak Beastie the Neasles Meow. Support the show at patreon.com and suddenly you're the big cheese, the real McCoy, with exclusive access to swell sneak peeks, bloopers, and behind-the-scenes features. But wait, there's more! Sponsors can also beat their gums at the joint with access to the Speak Beastie Common Room on Facebook. Now you're really on the clean sweep, flyboy. Get a wiggle on to patreon.com/speakbeastie to learn more about becoming a sponsor today. It's the Billy Wigs Knees and How.
So, we've kind of got some news. David Yates did an interview with Deadline. This was last month, but they posted a little clip of it from a little clip of the video interview on Twitter of just this, where they asked him about returning to, they said, the Harry Potter universe, but you know. And he basically said, shooting Secrets of Dumbledore through the pandemic pre-vaccine was very hard. And he said, we have not had a conversation since we finished it. It's been about, let's just park it and let's be done for a while. Never say never, I would say, but I'm really excited about moving on. Never say never, but for a while, I just want to explore many other things. And he is working on other projects, and we've talked before about, like, he's kind of just done Harry Potter for a long time.
Yeah.
He did take a break to do a Tarzan movie. Don't remember.
He did.
I don't remember feeling very strongly about it. But that was one other thing he did.
He did, and so his movie now is Pain Hustlers, which is, I know nothing about it except what a name.
I was gonna say, that is a name.
Yeah. Yeah,
and Fantastic Beasts and Harry Potter are the only movies he's done except Pain Hustlers, Tarzan, and the Titchborne Claimant.
And every other... Okay, so we had... He did 5, 6, and 7, right? Of Harry Potter?
Yeah. 7, yes. 1, and 2,
So 1 through 4 was all more established directors. And then they kind of plucked him out of mostly obscurity, right? Like, I mean, he'd done stuff, but...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He hadn't really done movies.
He did the one movie and he did some TV stuff.
So.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
I mean, I get that he wants to do other things, but the way that he talked about, I mean, that's what Victoria Yeats was talking about when we got her in the podcast, but she said something like, he was exhausted after Secrets of Dumbledore. It was such a hard production, and
with the pandemic, like they said, no vaccine.
Yeah, and the way that he talked about it in this interview, you really feel that he was kind of burned by the experience, and he has this. This laugh when he said we didn't have a conversation since we finished it. He was like, yeah, we were just it was too much. And we loved each other so much, but yeah, it was just a lot.
So, yeah.
I think whole experience, no vaccine, trying to shoot a film, I could see why that would maybe spend just everybody on the cast.
Yeah.
And crew, and yeah. So I get it, but...
Yeah,
For sure. I am like, you should have some conversations, but okay.
Yeah.
Everybody's health and well-being is more important than my movie.
Yeah, but it really... I mean, the way that I understood that earlier, but the way that it shows in the interview, it's like... The Fantastic Beasts franchise is so connected to David Yates that the fact that he was burnt and he wasn't able to continue, it seems like one of the reasons why we didn't hear anything. It's like, yeah, David Yates was just exhausted and they didn't know what to do without him. So it's like, yeah, he was the link between the crew and nobody can replace him.
Yeah, I could definitely see that they don't want to get a different director.
I really wouldn't mind movies. A different director.
I would not mind a different director.
Yeah.
But since I could see with like Harry Potter, well, with that, you know, some of the directors were like, I don't want to do it anymore. you're working with like established material, so I could see them being like, well, we can just get a different director, we already know the story. But this, I can see Warner Brothers being like, well, David Yates has been leading this, and we don't really have, you know, a book that we're trying to base it on.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
I really wonder what they're going to do with the... Yates has been so tied with the series for so long. And then they announced that show. I hope they give it to other people. And that's directing true. For television is different than directing for movies, but...
Yeah. I would think for the show, they would want to go a completely different direction.
Yeah, and it's really an opportunity to have different people. You can have you will need one or two showrunners, but after that... you can have several directors and several writers writing on different episodes. So it's really an opportunity to open the Wizarding World cinematic universe to other people. So
I just worry that they will keep it tied to one person.
I mean, we got the confirmation that David Heyman is co-producing it, because he talked about it a few weeks ago. same as David Yates, he talked about the fact that nobody was, they didn't had started recruiting writers, so it's still not happening in the near future, but it's the first time that we were sure that David Heyman is involved, and that's a big deal because he's involved since the very beginning. He's one of the reasons why we got the Harry Potter movies. So
yeah, given how long he's been tied to it, I know producers are not necessarily the same as like people that are in the trenches, but like if he said I'm done, I think I'd be a little worried.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so then the second piece of news we've got is Faber Music has published a new book, The Harry Potter Piano Anthology, featuring over 50 iconic tunes arranged for intermediate piano. So it's got piano tunes from Harry Potter and from Fantastic Beasts. And the cover was designed by Mina Lima. So there are 10 themes by James Newton Howard. It's very pretty.
Yeah.
It's a very pretty book. I don't play piano, but it's almost same. Like, I just want this book.
It's the wrong instrument for me. I played flute.
Yeah.
yeah, no, I
mean, it's got a bit from every movie.
Yeah, and I was really happy that Fantastic Beasts got a good place, because 10 pieces from 50, it's not bad. And you have also a lot of references to Fantastic Beasts in the cover. And I realized that, yeah, we have a Niffler, we have Newt's Wand, we have the Blood Pact. I think we have the Skull Hoka on the bottom left.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, in general, it looks a lot like the screenplay covers, except the last one.
Yeah.
The first two.
Yeah.
Which is very, like, Mina Lima style, mm-hmm. but still.
It is so, yeah, really
we've got...
beautiful.
We've got Pickett, too. Yeah.
No, it's from Fantastic Beasts 1, we've got A Man and His Beasts.
Yeah.
End Titles Part 2, Kowalski Rag, and Newt Says Goodbye to Tina / Jacob's Bakery. From Crimes of Grindelwald, we have Salamander Eyes, and then the, like, Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald. Dumbledore's theme, Leda's theme, Fantastic Beasts theme, and then from the third movie, The Ceremony.
Huh. Yeah. No, that's... It makes sense, because in the first two, we have a lot of piano actually used in the in the soundtrack. It's not the case in the Potter movies, I think. But...
No, not so much.
I just noticed that. So, yeah. Flitwick down in the bottom, in the middle.
Yeah,
I was looking at the rest of the cover and conducting. I didn't notice him yet. I love it. Oh.
And from the other movies, you could play such things as Cedric's death.
Ooh.
And Farewell to Dobby.
Cool.
That is going to make me cry. Thank you. This looks like this book is going to be huge too. I'm looking at all these songs that they have in here, for lack of a better, all this music, mm-hmm. I should say, not songs, nobody's singing. This is going to be a huge book. I wonder how thick it's going to be, man.
Yeah, it's already out, actually.
56 pieces.
They announced it when it was already out, so you can find it online, or if you are in London, you can have it in the House of Mina Lima.
Oh, so pretty. I do love their layout.
It says medium level difficulty.
So still too high for me.
I was going to say, so impossible for me, because I never played piano.
Yeah. I played piano in a music class for like a week. So
my kids get excited every time they see a piano, and the only thing I know is that little bit of Ode to Joy.
Oh. All right, well, that's it for the Phoenix Register.
On to Owl Post. Okay, so we have in our Owl Post another letter from Jerry. And she wrote in about episode 187, which I was on, so now I'm a little nervous. On the whole, I agreed with your rankings / ratings of the Beasts, as used shown in these three films. Just one that I really wanted to protest about. Please watch the deleted scene in Newt's case with the rune spore again. We actually see two different rune spores in this. One small one and one very large. The small one has a head in a cone of shame, like that used on dogs after veterinary work. And Newt talks to that head and tells it not to complain. When it stops attacking the other heads, the cone will come off, which I assume is the reason that the other one was able to grow to such a large size. Although a very large three-headed snake, it seems very mellow, at least in Newt's presence, and it must not be a danger to the other occupants of the case. And I love Jacob's reaction to the cave, petting the Mertlaps, etc. Also, while I am not sure of all the names, did you cover the giant dung beetle in the beginning of the deleted scene? I do not think we did. One of those fun little touches. And how about the creature that was in Yusuf Kama's eye making him ill? I assume that must be some sort of magical creature, but I can't figure out what kind.
Yeah, I think it was a water dragon parasite.
In my mind, that's not a creature the same way because it's a parasite. So I didn't really mind that we skipped it, but sorry, Jerry.
I would have ranked it low.
I was going to say, we were both on that episode. I would not have ranked it high. It would have been at the bottom. I would have been like, okay, it's a parasite that makes me sick. I'm done.
Calamari.
And as for the dung beetle, let's just rank him right now. He was cool. Let's put him in the middle.
Sure.
I was so happy that you ranked Frank the Thunderbird so highly. He is one of my favorite beasts. I want a plush version. So do I.
Same.
So far, the best Frank the Thunderbird merch I've been able to find is a scarf, very thin, with a lovely image of Frank printed on it. Well, I think we need to remedy that with some sticker ideas. I'm so behind on stickers, but I gotta make a few for the podcast anyway. I don't wear it as a scarf, but rather have it attached to the back of a sofa that is used for a room divider so I could see him every time I walk by. Nice. That's a cool idea. I like that. Thank you for a fun episode discussing the Beast in detail. One more comment on episode 187, Ranking the Beasts. I think Pastries, I'm not going to use that other name, theft of the blood pack from Grindelwald at the rally and managing to return to Newt rather than be burned up deserves special attention. In fact, perhaps he and Pickett deserve to be in a super special category since each of them contributes to the plot of each movie. Pickett helps Newt escape in every movie and the Niffler helps Pickett help Newt and Theseus escape the German wizard prison, guarded by some unknown magical beasts that certainly aren't manticores in the last movie, as well as the theft of the blood pact in the second, and without his bank escapade in the first movie, Jacob would never have become involved. The other two beasts that got into the top category are also great beasts, but they are only featured in one movie each. Speaking of that German wizard prison, did the glowworms that made the light have a name for their species? No, they did not, and I didn't remember them being special enough that we... I think that's why we didn't do anything with them.
Yeah. It is weird with, like, Pastries and Pickett, because it is, like, their characters.
Yeah.
Really more than their beasts.
But they are creatures, and so I do think... I mean, Jerry's right. They kind of do get... should kind of get top billing above everybody else for how involved they are in the plots, but... we weren't really ranking them on that. We were ranking them on beasts in general, I think.
Yeah.
Which is why we didn't necessarily. Although Pastries is amazing, and so is Pickett. And I think we all agree on that. And I think I do need to remedy that Frank thing, because that's not cool. Maybe I'll make a patch. Put it in my shop.
Ooh, that'd be good.
Yeah.
Iron on patch.
Good idea, yeah.
Iron it onto the couch.
Iron it onto anything you want. My kids have been so obsessed with patches that I started designing my own. So, gotta make some more. Clearly, we need to remedy the sticker problem.
Yeah, Frank is so cool. And
he's beautiful, too. Yeah. Like, whoever came up with the design for the Thunderbird, it's stunning. Mm-hmm.
And the only beast that is a puppet for one shot.
True.
Yeah.
Although, when you watch the behind the scenes, they did come up with creative ways to kind of mark the sizing and stuff. So, they still had puppeteers doing stuff. They just didn't fully puppet them.
Yeah, like the Aaron Merton, it was basically a puppet on on set, but yeah.
I suspect that the one shot where you can tell it is a puppet was not supposed to make it into the movie. Or it was supposed to be CGI'd out. But it looks great, and so they should have used more puppets.
Just practical effects over CGI any day of the week.
But thank you, Jerry. Great comments. I had forgotten about the smaller rune spore with the
Yeah, I did forget about the deleted scene. When we were re-summarizing, you know, going through stuff, it was definitely one that got missed. But that's okay. We did talk about the rune. We didn't skip it, like the parasite thing.
No, yeah, we ranked it, but yeah, we just forgot about that detail, which is a cool... Because we were talking about how the main one you see is so big, but they're usually small creatures, and we were like, well, Newt must have figured out a way to keep them from... keep the heads from eating each other.
And we did forget about that. That is a detail. Cone of shame. Yeah. Cone of shame.
Yeah.
We got there. We got there this week. Sorry, Jerry.
Thank you, Jerry, for your great comment.
Shall we move into the main discussion?
Yes.
Yeah! I'm excited. Well,
you were just like, no.
No, sorry, I don't
I'm
feel
tired.
Like
I'm tired, I'm going to go take a nap now.
No, I think we'll end here, actually.
Goodbye, everybody!
No, it's been so long that I wanted to do this main discussion, so I'm really excited. So,
yeah.
Today we will talk about Hogwarts Legacy.
Yeah.
So, why we talk about Hogwarts Legacy in the Fantastic Beasts podcast? Because I want to defend the idea that it's actually a Fantastic Beasts game. So yeah, there is a...
I thought you might just say, because I want to.
Yeah, because I want to. I love this game and I want to talk about it. But no, actually, it's also because I was actually really presently surprised by the Fantastic Beasts content that we have in this game. So yeah, I want to talk about it. So before we begin, don't worry if you haven't play the game, and if you plan to play it later, I know that it's still not out on Switch. It will be out in a few weeks when you have this episode. But even if you will play on other platform later, I will not spoil anything from the plot or from the specific quest. I will stay pretty general. But of course, if you really don't want to know anything from the gameplay, the general content, and the things that you can do in the game, maybe come back later when you have the chance to play the game. But yeah,
well,
no spoiler
yet,
about the plot. So
I'm here and I haven't played yet, so it's all good. You guys will be fine.
Yeah, I haven't played either, so. It's just Marjo is going to tell us all about it.
Yeah, and you can ask questions. I will try to make you imagine the game, and you can ask questions about it, and I will have questions for you at the end too. So, yeah.
I'm excited.
So, a little bit of context about this game. So, Hogwarts Legacy was developed by Avalanche Software, and it came out in different times depending of the platform. So it came out at first February 10 of this year for PC, PS5 and Xbox Series, and we had to wait May 5th for PS4, Xbox One, and it will finally be out November 14 on Switch. So
big gap.
Yeah, and that's...
Seriously.
I think it hurts the hype around the game, because I think, yeah, it was really bad for the fandom to not have a general release for everyone, and so everyone would be... even if everyone would not play the game, everyone who wants to play it could have a more collective experience if everything was out at the same time, but so, yeah.
Well, it suffered... In my opinion, it suffered from the fact that they did not plan for Switch originally.
Yeah.
And so,
which,
I am not a major, I'm not a huge gamer, but I do like to play video games. And like, I remember when they first announced this game and they said, it's not going to be on the Switch. And I was like, well, guess it's Lego Harry Potter for me forever, because...
I mean, hey, Lego Harry Potter...
is an amazing game.
Nothing can beat it.
It's an amazing game, but it was like, from the beginning, I just felt like I was left out.
Yeah, it's actually quite impressive if they manage to make it run good on Switch, because it's a really heavy game, and it was also a big... big thing to have it on the PS4 and Xbox One, because it was originally for the new generation of the new generation platform. But I played it on PS4 and it was good enough. I guess the graphics were better on PS5, but it didn't bother me, and it was still beautiful.
I think so. That's the thing that they did not really think about. I mean, I get that they did this amazing, and I've seen screenshots. The graphics do look amazing, but I'm not going to speak for every Switch player on the planet, but I think in general, you know, we're willing to take a compromise. I mean, I don't want to buy a PlayStation 5 to play a game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think you will have a compromise, because it can't be the same game on PS5 and on Switch. It's not possible, so we'll see. Yeah. But it's in a few weeks. But so you know what type of game it is. It's an action role-playing game. So it means that you create a character, you follow quests in an open world. So there it's Hogwarts, Hogsmeade, the Forbidden Forest, the highlands around this area. And you have to fight enemies, solve riddles, explore, find stuff, upgrade your skills, etc. That's this type of massive games where you can spend a lot of time.
I want to do some research and compare it to the map on Zelda's Breath of the Wild. I wonder.
I didn't play Zelda, so I don't know, but it's really massive. And I started playing when it was out on PS4, so in May. I finished the main quest and most of the secondary quest. I'm far from completing 100% the game, but I still, I forgot to check how many hours I spent, but I'm guessing it's between 30 and 40 hours that I spent in the game, so, and I haven't... still haven't explored all the corner of the maps, and I have a lot of small quests to do still. So, yeah.
Love that.
So, yeah. So, there is a lot in this game, and I will only focus on the Fantastic Beasts elements. So, if you play the game, you will notice that I'm not talking at all about Hogwarts secrets, about characters, about... new wizarding lore and history that we get in this game, about spells. So yeah, no, I will not talk about that. I will just talk about Beast, because that's what
I'm is important. Not here for any of that. I'm only here for Beast.
Yeah.
And that's you can me about actually... the whole franchise these days.
And if you only care about Beast, you can still have a lot of enjoyment in this game. So yeah. So why is it such Fantastic Beast? So first, I think, so you play yourself, you create your character, and I consider that you are basically in the game the new Scamander of this time, because for the context, the story takes place in the late 1800s, so few decades before Newt's time, but they are... many references to what Newt will do later. So first, you have a lot of quests about saving beasts. You spent most of your time saving beasts, actually. I mean, maybe that's me, because I'm focusing on this type of quest. But yeah, in this game, the context also is that there is different type of enemies, but the most common are probably the poachers. And you learn quickly that the poachers kind of control the land, and they are everywhere in the highlands, and they are capturing and killing beasts to sell them. And so, yeah, that makes an environment that is, you have to battle people who hurt beasts. So yeah, you feel like a Newt Scamander of this time. And that made me realize that actually poaching is not really there in Fantastic Beasts movie when it could have been a good antagonist for Newt to have poachers to fight.
That one guy in the second movie kind of alluded to it a little bit, I think.
Yeah.
That he was the beast hunter who was really, I don't remember his name. I'm sorry, I'm drawing a blank. I should pull up the book.
I don't remember. No.
I don't remember his name. I'm gonna get called out on our socials for not remembering the guy's name. But that was kind of the same thing because Newt was like, I don't let you called him. He's gonna just kill him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then we got the circus.
In the circus, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good comparison. This specific character in Fantastic Beasts, you have a lot of this type of guy in Hogwarts Legacy. It's not, they are not isolated. It's like a big community of poachers, actually. So, yeah. And actually, it makes sense to have that in this period, because you realize how important Newt's work would be a few decades later, if they are so present at this time. So yeah, that's that makes sense. So since there are so many poachers, the beasts are in danger, and so you have to collect them to protect them. And that's when you realize that Newt actually did not invent the concept of the case, because you have a magical bag to capture the beasts. So,
I want it in real life.
Maybe if you never played the game and you will play it soon, don't expect to have that right away. This beast-related content, you have to do several of the main quests, and you have to advance in the main quest and the main secondary quest to have this ability to collect the beasts. So, yeah, but you really feel like Newt, exploring the highlands and looking for the beast. And when you find the beast, you have to be patient and have the right timing to have them come in the bag. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's really Pokemon.
Inspired too.
Your bag is like a Pokeball. That.
I was just gonna say, do we have Pokemon in Hogwarts Legacy?
That's basically that. But the bag is not actually the real equivalent to Newt's case. But there is a very real equivalent. It's the vivarium in the Room of Requirement. So the Room of Requirement, again, it's something that you can access a bit later in the game, but it's basically your personal home. you can put in the Room of Requirement everything you need to brew potion, grow plants, etc. And for your beasts, you can have vivarium. So there is different biome for different type of beasts. So first you have one, and then when you find you when you progress to the beast quest, you have different type of beasts, so you need another vivarium which is more adapted to different type of beasts. And it's just the best relaxing experience to be in your vivarium, because when you enter it, so it really have the same effect as you when you enter the Newt's case. You have this new landscape that opens, and you don't see the end, so it really feels like you are in the wild, but it has border, but you can't see it. And it's beautiful. You always have relaxing music, and you have your beasts running in the and having having fun with little toys that you can give them, and you can pet them and feed them and just play with them. And that's just, I love it so much. Sometimes I just open the game just to go in the vivarium and be with the beast. That's just enough.
When I have a real home of my own, this is going to be my home.
Yes.
Except without the actual wild animals. I probably shouldn't just kidnap squirrels and stuff, but...
Yeah, probably not. And also, if you have a male and a female, you can breed them and have the cutest babies.
Wait, this game is set at the late 1800s, right? Did we, as someone who hasn't played the game,
yeah.
I don't think it's a spoiler to ask, do we know what year?
No, we don't.
Okay.
It's not specific. It's probably in between the 1880s and 90s, but we don't know. There is not a specific characters or event that is connected to the canon that make us point
to
date.
Because here's the thing, Newt, it would still be before Newt's time. Like, it's not like you'd see Newt in the castle.
Yeah.
Born in 1897. So, based on what you're saying with, like, the bag and the vivarium, I feel like whoever we're playing as maybe trained Newt. Like, I don't think you don't...
Influence?
Like, I feel like at some point you'd know. I mean, because you don't stay at Hogwarts forever. So, unless this person's coming back all the time, like, I feel like they would know Newt. I don't know. Maybe I'm just crazy. At some point. Not in the game.
Actually,
but
no, it's not crazy, because I actually have a theory about a character that we meet in the game.
Oh, okay. If it's not a spoiler, I would love to hear it.
Yeah. I mean, I will stay very vague, but one of the students that you meet, and actually you meet different students from different houses, and you have quests with these different students, and you can, it's secondary quests, but if you go through all of these quests, you create a friendship with this student. So the Hufflepuff student is Poppy Sweeting.
Okay.
And I mean, when I said that you as the character, you are like Newt, Poppy is just, I think, in my head canon, she could be Newt's mother, actually, because she has so many things that remind us of Newt and what we know from her mother. So she's a Hufflepuff, like I said. We don't know if his mother was in Hufflepuff, but maybe. She has a big love for creature, and she's a real fierce advocate against the prejudice against them. So yeah, that's her core drive from all of the interaction that you have with her. It's all focused on saving the beast, and she hates poachers. She has reason that I will not talk about, but she really has this personal thing.
Does she have an enthusiasm for hippogriffs?
Yeah, she has.
It might be.
It's actually the first thing that we learn about her. The first quest, I say, what we have with her, it's connected to hippogriffs, and she has special affinities with hippogriffs.
Okay, so if this is old enough, and if Poppy's like year in school is the right one, she could be Newt's mother. Because listen to this.
Yeah.
Newt Artemis Fido Scamander was born in 1897. His interest in fabulous beasts was encouraged by his mother, unnamed, who was an enthusiastic breeder of fancy hippogriffs.
Yeah.
That's in the old version. I don't know if that translates over to the new version of Fantastic Beasts. That's the original one. I wonder if it's the same in this
one. Yeah, that's why I think about it. But Newt has an older brother with Theseus, and... He has to be born a bit earlier, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
So it depends when this game actually takes place.
That is where it's wholly dependent on.
Yeah, but at the same time, timeline in a Fantastic Beast? Does it really matter? Well,
yeah. Yeah, the timeline's pretty fluid.
I've pulled up on YouTube. On YouTube, some people have their Vivarium tours, and so
yeah,
highly recommend.
Yeah.
Just watching someone walk around, look at their bees. They had a Christmas tree.
Yeah, you can decorate your vivarium. You can, I saw also this type of tour. There are people so creative and they can make gorgeous things in their vivarium.
There's
I was
so many
just
hippogriffs.
Very basic, but yeah.
Well, I like your headcanon.
Yeah, and I think another, I saw online that some people were thinking maybe she's not her mother, but maybe she was the professor for care of magical creature during Newt's years. So she could still be a mentor for Newt,
yeah.
But the hippogriff stuff, that's...
I like your headcanon and I'm going to keep it. And I'm going to just assume it's old enough. It's all
yeah,
set.
Yeah, and
old
I love
enough.
Her. She's really cool because she looks like really sweet and that the sweet Hufflepuff, but she's fierce. She's like, she has this, she really reminds me of Newt, the way that she's so, she doesn't do compromise. She's just what the beast of what matters. And even if the beasts are a bit dangerous also, it doesn't matter. We have to save them and we have to protect them. So, yeah.
So I'm seeing that it's generally accepted that Hogwarts Legacy is set in, like, 1890. That's not official. But, like, she could be a young mom.
I was going to say, I mean, think about, like, Harry Potter's parents were maybe 20 when he was born. They got married pretty much right away after school at 17, from what I remember of the canon of that timeline. Like, this is all plausible. It seems pretty common for them to marry young and live to ridiculously old ages.
Yeah, so she still has to have features before Newt, so it's but again, we don't have a specific date for the event of the games.
Do we know how old Theseus is exactly? I mean, we know he's older. They could be Irish twins.
I don't think we know.
Okay, this says born circa 1888.
Yeah, that's
which
when
would
we,
be a we lot.
That's
older.
A lot older. That can't be right.
I don't know. That's just from like a behind the scenes book.
Yeah, he was old enough to fight in the First World War, but
okay. So this said he's 8 years older.
Well, that's too big of an age gap to work for that to work. But
well, and as we know, he's. Actually, like 8 years younger than Eddie Redmayne.
I was gonna say the actor's younger, but yeah.
Well, maybe Poppy's is not his biological mother, and Theseus. What I don't know. Maybe they share a father, and Poppy was. I don't
number
know.
Two.
We can create a fan fiction that can work.
She definitely knows Lou. She definitely was some kind of
Yeah,
mentor mother to Newt.
with all the heavy...
That's canon now.
Yeah. With all the heavy beast stuff that goes on in this game, there's no way that it's not... These characters aren't some way connected to Newt at some point. Even if it's not in the game.
Yeah.
Literally. So.
Yeah. And the fact that it's still quite close time-wise, so... It makes sense that characters will interact with the characters that we know from Fantastic Beasts at some point.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know if we ever noted this, but apparently Callum Turner confirmed that Theseus was in Hufflepuff.
I mean, that doesn't surprise me.
I remember that from an interview, and it was interesting because we kind of thought it might be a Gryffindor, but no, it makes sense that
love that.
But with what we know of canon and family trees, not that it's, you see exceptions in the books and in the movies. But in general, you do tend to follow house, like, family lines in houses. And you do, I mean, it gets finicky when you get, like, Tonks, whose mom's Slytherin, dad's a Puff, but, you know, like...
Yeah.
They're, you know, or you get the exceptions of, like, Sirius, who, like, breaks with family tradition mentally and ends up in a Gryffindor. Like, there's exceptions, but in general, all the Weasleys,
well,
Gryffindors,
like the exceptions are
back.
Always notable.
Yeah.
Because they're exceptions.
Because they're exceptions, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and it actually, when I'm thinking about Poppy's character, it makes sense that she is also Fisher's mother, because she could, Newt could have take her love for Beast, and Fisius could have take her,
like, the fierce warrior
courage, and the fact that he's ready to go in the action and to act, mm-hmm. and to be a fighter, because Poppy's, yeah, she's not afraid to fight, so I love her, and there is a lot of really interesting characters in this game, but I will let you discover all. And I have the list of all the fantastic beasts that you can meet in Hogwarts Legacy. I have the list in alphabetical order. So in this list, you have the beasts that you can collect and breed and have in your vivarium. You have also the beasts that are just, in quote, enemies, that they are not tameable. You can't have them in your vivarium.
Rude.
Unless you're
new. So I will not tell you which one is what, because I think for some it's kind of a spoiler. But we can talk about it and comment if you have questions. I will see if I can answer without spoiling it. But the first, and I think it's the one that got the most discussed, was the Acromantula, because we have a lot of Acromantula. And people
Horrible.
Who doesn't like spiders, they struggle with the game, and they had to add a mode where they replaced the spiders with other things. I don't remember what, but it's actually not included in the game, that if you are too afraid of spiders, you can activate the spider safe thing, and you will not meet the spiders. So yeah, you have the ogre, but actually you don't really have an ogre, so sorry Shannon, but yeah, it's just a skeleton that you can find in Hogwarts.
So rude.
Is that because of the, like, center? Bad luck or something? I can't remember what
Probably,
it is. Not bad luck.
Yeah, that's gotta be bad luck.
They're like the bad omen or something, weren't they, in the book?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You have centaurs, you have Diricol, of course. And actually, speaking of the Diricol and most of the beasts that I will quote, they clearly took the design from the Fantastic Beasts movies for the beast. So when you meet the Niffler, when you meet different type of beasts, is clearly they didn't try to reinvent the design. They took what they did with the movie. So
that kind of makes
that's
sense,
good. That
though.
Makes the no, because they recreated Hogwarts. Hogwarts is not the same that we see in the movies.
Not
but,
at all.
Yeah, for the beasts, it's. You feel like you are in Hogwarts. It has the same vibe, but the architecture is different.
Interesting.
You really see differences. The common room are not at all the same.
Oh, I've not been in. Well, I guess the Gryffindor one and the Slytherin one would be the only ones you'd have seen in the movies. Wait.
Yeah, but even this one are really different from what we got in the movies. So.
Oh wow! Yeah. Now I'm interested
like
to see my common room.
No, that's really interesting, because the look of the architecture, even Hogsmeade, it's really its own thing. They didn't copy the movies for that, but for the design of the beast, yeah, they definitely took the same. So you have dragons also. You can meet some dragons, the Commonwatch Green, the
Hebridean Black? Hebridean Black?
And the Hungarian Hauntail.
We're probably all butchering
sure, yeah.
it.
Same situation.
Yeah. You have the dog bug. So nice. I hate them. You have whoopers.
Love.
You have giant purple toads. So actually, I think that's the only one that is not feature in the Fantasy Beasts book or the movies, but mm-hmm. it actually appears in Prison of Azkaban and also in the old video games, the first Harry Potter video game. So that's fun to have the giant purple toad.
I think I remember those from the old games.
Yeah, they're just big toads. But
yeah, they're just toads.
Yeah. You have the giant squid, of course, because you're in Hogwarts. Mm-hmm. You have a golden Snidget. They're so cute.
Ooh.
You have Grabhorn. Really, really cool. You have Hippogriff, like I said, with puppies. And actually, I don't think it's a spoiler because you see it in most of the what we can see of the trailers and so, but you can mm-hmm. ride Hippogriff in the game. So
nice.
That's really cool. And the first time you do it, you have a beautiful music that is really make you feel like a Harry Potter in the Prison of Azkaban because it's mm-hmm. really the same type of music, so I love it. You have Jobbernoll? I don't know how you pronounce that.
Yeah.
Jobbernoll.
Yeah.
I think.
You have Nizzles, Moon Calves, the cutest. Nifflers, of course. You have one Phoenix. We don't know if it's Frimsec or not, but you have one Phoenix. You have Puffskin. You have Thornback, and actually that's the only creation for the game. And it's basically another kind of giant spider.
Great.
It's not a Necromantula, it's a Thornback. Because, yeah, of course, Necromantula, it's not enough. You have to make another giant spider even more scary. So, yeah.
A Thornback is a type of ray in real life.
Really? Oh.
Oh, they are horrible. Horrible. Why would they do that?
Yeah, no, they're bad. I mean, I don't mind spiders, so I wasn't.
My kids are not.
It was
like
not
that.
More yeah. terrified than other because you have some enemies that are more terrifying for me. But yeah,
so
the
if
spiders,
you have the no spiders setting turned on, does that also get rid of the Thornbacks?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, because that okay. it's spider too. So
good.
Yeah, if you want to check, it's just like big red spiders, like they have an armor or so. I don't know how to describe it. But
that's not
yeah,
even
they
well
are very spiky. And,
I don't like that one.
No.
Don't like it at all.
I don't know. I'm not.
Get that
I,
one
of
back course to the shop.
I'm not. I don't have a problem
and
with spiders.
And of course,
spiders.
The spider, they are. I don't remember if this one do that or if all the spiders do that, but of course, they are traveling through the ground and they popped from the ground in front of you like
of course.
Yeah, they do everything to traumatize the people who are very afraid of spiders, so
yeah.
Don't be shy to turn on the spider safe mode.
I have to do that for my kids.
So you have trolls also. You have all type of trolls, forest trolls, mountain trolls, river trolls. They are huge. They are really, really huge. So,
like bigger than they were in the movie?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, I think so. I don't think the troll was that big in the movie. Or maybe, I don't know. But I don't know why, but in my mind, the troll, because they are quite hard to defeat in the game, so for me, they seem huge. Maybe they are not that huge, but...
They're definitely, they are like thicker than the one in the movie from the pictures I'm looking at, and they've got like armor and stuff.
Yeah, no, they have a lot of weapons and they're hard to kill, so yeah. Definitely not going in the bag for them.
Yeah. I don't want them in the bag.
Much more pleasant, you have unicorns, and actually that's the last one that I didn't manage to catch, in quotes, because they are really hard to find and really hard to catch, and it's always a magical moment when you find a unicorn in the game. That's very, very special, and it doesn't happen a lot like other creatures, so they mm-hmm. really made it like, and there I don't think there is any quest connected to unicorns, so that's really something that you have to look for if you want. Yeah, if you want.
Can you
unicorn,
breed them though, like the other ones? if you actually manage to
I
get
think
a...
so yeah okay. you can and I think I saw a video of somebody giving advice to find all the creature, and he said that for him it was really a challenge because he always found male unicorn. He couldn't find a female unicorn. Mm. So it took him a lot of time to find a pair. And and yeah, because the unicorn, they, when they pop somewhere, they are alone. There is only one. And when, like the sure. Niflers, there is a colony. When you find a Niflers nest, there are a lot of Niflers.
Sure.
Yeah. And you have Festral too. Really, really cool. Yeah. So, and that's all the beasts that you can find. So,
is there
that's...
like a regular winged horse, like a, or just Thestrals?
I think there, no, there is, I don't know why in the list they put winged horse and Thestral, but I think not there. Oh, maybe. No, there
no
is
no normal
Thestral.
Pegasi.
And actually, I don't think so.
Okay, just curious.
They're not native to the Highlands, I think. So.
No, I just was curious because you had winged horse and Thestral here, so I just was confused if it was
yeah,
one or two.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think there was only Thestrals, but and actually, again, a small spoiler, but it's from the first scene of the game. The way that you see Thestral for the first time is really, really cool. They did a scene. I will not spoil it, the scene, the specific what's happening in the scene, but yeah, there is something happening very early in the game that make you see Thestral, and it's wow, that's really well done. It's a good introduction. Yeah, so yeah, they get they get care of that early on, so after that it makes sense that you can see Thestral when you meet them, but yeah. The baby Thestral are just as adorable as we see in the movie. So yeah, that's all the beasts. So that's fun. I like that they kept it's coherent with the mm-hmm. environment. So you don't have exotic beasts.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't research all the beasts, but I think it's only beasts that could be in the Highlands, at least the wild beast, because you can also some of the beasts you find them when they are trapped by the poachers, so it makes sure. sense that they have more exotic beasts, but yeah, so yeah, they didn't try to put all the beasts but from all that they were able to put, I think they did a good job to have
yeah,
a good variety.
I think most of these are at least European, so mm-hmm. makes sense.
So I have a question for you. I want because you didn't had a chance to play Hogwarts Legacy. I hope I made you want to play it because that's really cool.
Looks really fun.
But yeah, I want to know if you can imagine other types of fantastic beasts themed video games that you will want to play. If you have an idea.
I like the idea you have here.
Yeah, so my first idea was, because I love cozy games, and that's maybe why in Hogwarts Legacy, I just like to hang out in the vivariums yeah. with my beast. But I thought about the type of games that I like, and so I want a Jacobs and Queenie's Bakery cozy game mm-hmm. with magical baking in it. And
that would be so cute.
My littlest yeah, would
you can
love.
Maybe run the little bakery and creating new recipes and having mini games to have the beast pastries and things like that.
My youngest loves cooking and baking, so that game would be right up her alley.
I mean, I would love... There's definitely a lot of elements of Hogwarts Legacy a lot of the beast elements that are similar to Animal Crossing, but I mm-hmm. would love Animal Crossing, but it's magical. And like, I would love a Harry Potter game, a Fantastic Beasts game that is not like realistic looking animation.
Yeah.
That it's just like cute.
So you want a Lego Harry Potter game?
Yes.
All right.
Always.
So for me, I love the idea of a Lego Fantastic Beasts with maybe more than what we got in the movies.
Mm-hmm.
But I think my perfect Fantastic Beasts game would be, I don't know, you know those, all right, I played kind of a version of this, but I think it could be done better on a console. You know those like look and find games where it's, you got to find stuff on the screen and they give you kind of a list and they give you like a messy room and you're supposed to find clues. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I love a
good... that's what they did for the,
I think they did that for Fantastic Beasts.
There was related.
There was a Fantastic Beasts version a while back that I don't know if it still exists.
A mobile game.
It was a mobile game.
I don't think so,
But so what I like, what I liked about that game is what I would want to see in a console game. I'd want it a little bit more open world. And you're trying to figure out what beast caused the problem.
Mm-hmm.
But the added element that I would want is a little bit more of Newt and Newt case. Of you're then catching the beast and getting it where it needs to go. Kind of thing. Like, in you don't want to hurt, you know, you're very Newt about it. You don't want to hurt it. You want to make sure it gets back to its proper environment kind of thing. Like, so a bit of a puzzle and mystery element and a bit of a, like... adventure, get it safely home with things like these, you know, animal creature hunters that you have to avoid and fight off and stuff like that. So that would be my perfect Fantastic Beast style game with a Newt case that you can use to transport them from place to place. And if it's done right, you could be like, as you get to that place, well, now there's a problem here and they have a beast that isn't where, you know, like they could build off of each other as you're going around.
Oh, yeah.
And travel the world. And then you get to see more of the world of magic because you can go to different countries and stuff. So that would be my perfect game. Enough mystery to keep me wanting to play and discover more beasts. And
my other idea of just, like, something really simple, like a phone game, is, like, Queenie's Closet. Just a little dress-up game.
Well, now you're just naming my other daughter's favorite kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it happens when you got girls. They like the easy ones, the fun ones. I don't say easy. Easy's not right. They're not necessarily easy. Simple, fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you could also have something like, because I know we mentioned that it could be an idea for a series or something like that, but something around Tina and how you say, I don't know what type of game it would be, but the type of interactive game when you have to look for clues and like a narrative game where you have a case and you have to solve it and you
like a
you
puzzle
have this
game?
More like you have to meet people, interact with people, ask questions, collect clues.
Carmen Sandiego style kind of thing.
Yeah,
Without the questions and answers, you don't get the... I would hope that'd be part of the game that I... Like, in a perfect world, the game that I envision has Newt and Tina. And so you've got a little bit of the horror element.
Oh, yeah.
And those types of mysteries, along with, like, Beast run amok, gotta get them home.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Love it, yeah. Because I love narrative game. I love games where you have a strong plot and that you can interact with the plot with choices that you make. In Hogwarts Legacy, you have a bit of that, but it's not hugely important. I mean, you can have different ending, but that's quite small choices. Having really something only narrative and having some decision to make have an impact to the plot. I love these type of games. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah, that's kind of what I think. You know, like, I don't think I did a good job explaining mine because that's kind of what I'm thinking. Like, there's got to be, you've got to talk to people. There is a storyline. There is a direction. Mm-hmm. Kind of, I think, why I like the Zelda games, particularly the new ones for the Switch, which I know you haven't played, but like, there's a story, there's adventures, there's side quests, but it all ties into the same thing. And you can kind of take your time doing all the things, but they all tie in together to a main story.
Yeah. Yeah, the Wizarding World has a lot of potential for video games, so I'm really glad that we finally had a game like Hogwarts Legacy. Like, I think it had a good success, so I hope we will have more.
Well, and I think Warner Brothers bought
Avalanche. Ideas like that.
I think they bought the studio that built it.
Yeah.
So hopefully they plan to do more.
Yeah. It's I hope so. We had no news from, because I mean for the first release it's now since quite a, I mean for games like that they are usually announcing some add-on, some extension, something like that to and nothing was announced for Hogwarts Legacy, so I hope. I mean, maybe that's because they still
have to release it.
Releasing
it. They haven't released it on everybody yet. Maybe it's coming.
Yeah, but I hope they are planning to keep this game alive, in quote, with adding stuff and maybe announcing another. Maybe we'll begin a franchise. I don't see that. I mean, it could be. I know that some people are hoping that maybe we could have the same type of game in other schools.
Mm-hmm.
That would be cool.
Elsewhere in the world, like a Beauxbatons Legacy or a Wagadu Legacy. That would be super fun.
I mean, that would be fun, but I think
but
I think it would be just as fun to just incorporate more of the magical world into a bigger game. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So yeah, that's it for my main discussion. I hope you enjoyed it and you didn't feel too much spoiled for me.
No, I think it was good. I don't feel spoiled, if that makes you feel any better. I feel like it actually, it makes me want to play more as someone who loves this franchise.
Cool.
So.
It makes me want to go back to the game because I tried to stop at some point to play other games, but I still want to, especially since it's fall now and it's really the type of game that you that makes you in a fall autumn mood. I don't know, it's
sure. Really fun.
Even if you have the different season during the mm-hmm. game, so you are in winter, sometimes you are in spring, but it affects the environment, not the beast. Actually the beasts are staying the same in every season, but
that would be cool if it was different beasts in different seasons.
That would be more appropriate, actually.
Maybe during the winter, some of the beasts will be sleeping in the corner and you will not. I mean, some are connected to the type to the day, because like moon calves, you can't see them during the day. You have to wait the night to find them. But that's it. I think Thestral, I don't know, I think they just prefer vivarium where it's nice, but you can find them during the day.
Well, thank you for this.
Yeah, this was a good one,
Marjolaine.
My pleasure.
Now we're gonna go battle some beasts.
Yep.
Battle of the Beasts. Beasts.
Time to battle. I got my beast picked. What about you?
I've got my beast picked. Hopefully it's different beasts.
I know, I can pick another one, but I don't think I would be surprised if we picked the same.
Okay. Carolyn and I are going to battle our beasts.
Yes.
So is it we...
I'd be the judge.
Yes. Marjorie will judge. Is it we each get a minute to talk about them and then get a minute rebuttal?
I think so.
We get like a 30-second rebuttal.
I
should have checked this beforehand.
I don't remember.
I think it's like a minute each. That's fine.
A minute each is fine.
Yeah.
I'm going to be winging this a little bit anyway.
So I'm the time manager, so I will tell you go, stop.
Sounds good.
Okay. So on. Okay?
So
first you have to announce your beast.
Count us
ready?
Down.
Ready.
Yeah. You ready?
Yeah.
3, 2, 1, beast.
Jabbernoll.
Golden Stidget.
We did not pick the same ones.
I didn't hear what you said.
Jabbernoll.
Ah, okay.
Or Jabbernoll.
Ooh.
Jabbernoll? Jabber.
Interesting.
I think we actually picked beasts that are of similar size.
Yes, too. For once.
For once, it's not like Niffler versus Horned Serpent or Dragon or Norwegian Ridgeback.
All right, who gets to go first?
So, who goes first?
I don't care.
I think
matter.
Your choice, Marjo.
Okay, so Shannon, you go first. Ready?
Yeah.
Go.
Okay, so Golden Stidgets, they're really fast. They're wicked fast and They're impossible to catch. So it can fly around and not get caught, but also in terms of attack, it has a beak, which when finding another bird, maybe not the best defense of mine, but I bet it could like swing around and get the jobbernoll's back when the jobbernoll's not looking. And
maybe
it's really cute, so I like it.
10 seconds.
And it's really rare, so you shouldn't kill it.
So. Good. Stop. Okay, Caroline, you ready?
I'm ready. Whenever you say start.
Wait. Go.
Okay. So the jobbernoll is also a very tiny bird. It is blue, not golden, which is awesome because it's a better color. And the snidget might be fast, but the jobbernoll helps. They use it in truth serums, its feathers, and in memory potions. So I think this bird has a way to like just make the snidget forget what it's doing and go to sleep or something so that it can just like... Basically, it'll make it forget that it even needs to fight it, and it'll just... We're peaceful. I don't want to kill anything. I'm not going after it. We just want to get you away from us. So you're just going to lose, because memory powers trump speed, I think. I think it's going to... It's got to show up sometime, that little snidget.
10 seconds.
It's not that fast. It also has a really cool thing about making, like, every sound it's ever heard at the end of its life. So go ahead.
Okay.
Ready?
Yeah.
Go.
Well, I was looking at pictures, and so I wanted to add that the golden snidget's beak is pretty long, so it could probably reach the jobbernoll when the jobbernoll couldn't reach it. Also, they're golden, so, you know, the sunlight could reflect off of them and, like, make it hard to see when they're flying around so fast. And I don't, the jobbernoll would have to, like, get close to it to do any magic stuff. So, and I just don't think it's going to be fast enough. And the golden snidgets have a lot of experience escaping from humans. I think it could escape from other birds. That's it.
It's all I got.
Good. Ready?
Ready.
Go.
All right. So it can be golden and it can be all those things, and that's fine. But frankly, if you kill the jobbernoll, it's going to kill you with sound because it does everything it's ever heard in its entire life, really loud, backwards, if you kill it. So I feel like it's going to be like the lady breaking the glass, and it's just going to, like, blow the eardrums out of this bird.
Wow.
And quite frankly, we don't want to kill you, so I don't know why you want to kill us. We just want you to forget and fly away. And that's all I got, because I don't know.
Okay. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Hmm. Yeah, I like your, I like both of you. You found good argument. I like the golden weapon with the sun. Like you can see me because I'm golden.
That was good. That was a good touch.
But I also like the idea.
You did that. And I was like, oh no.
Even if I don't know how the jobbernoll will use the feather abilities to. Magical abilities to... I don't see how it works. If it flapped the wing very fast.
I don't know how it works either. I just figured if they're using it for that, it's got to have a way to use it to its advantage.
But yeah, and the fact that both of you, agree that you don't want to kill each other. That's, yeah. That's something that doesn't help me.
I'm not violent, sorry.
But yeah, for the...
I just want to escape.
For the ability to be able, if it's killed, to just blow your ears out, I think the jobbernoll has the final... I mean, it's a good dissuasive weapon. So yeah.
I mean, it's a last act of desperation. You're already dead at that point, but
yeah. But it makes the
feels like if I'm going down, you're going with me.
Yeah,
I get why the enemy will think twice before trying to kill it. So I will, yeah, I will give it to you, Caroline. That's a good.
Oh yay!
A good, yeah. You did great with the idea of everything that the Dragonal can do, and yeah. Even if, of course, nobody wants to kill a golden snidget because that's too cute.
No, they'll just.
I don't think the Dragonal wants to either. Yeah. I think it just wants to make it forget and fly away. Silent but deadly animal. Silent but not deadly.
So, spoiler, we don't see in the game any Dragonal fighting a golden snidget. So that's not something that you can see in Hogwarts.
That's good. Yeah.
That's good. I don't want any creatures fighting each other. We don't need like cage match cockfight style kind of thing. It's okay.
Okay, so that wraps it up for today's episode. For this week's podcast question, we want to hear, what is your dream Fantastic Beasts video game? Or not necessarily video game, another kind of game. So we would love to hear from you. Drop us an owl on any of our social media outlets or email us at speakbeastie@gmail.com. And don't forget to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you listen that has reviews enabled. That really helps us out.
And you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at speakbeastie, Facebook at facebook.com/speakbeastie, Tumblr, if you still use it, at speakbeastiepodcast.tumblr.com. You can support the show on Patreon at patreon.com/speakbeastie. We have stickers that I come up with, and we have all other kinds of fun stuff available there. And, well, I guess I do stickers. I'm a little behind, but I do stickers and coloring pages. What are you guys up to for Patreon?
So recently I mean, it was on for the people who are on the common room on Facebook. So yeah, the best of our Patreons. But I went to the Harry Potter exhibition a few weeks ago, early September last month. And so I shared some pictures from the Fantasy Beast stuff in the Harry Potter exhibition. That was really, really fun. And also a really good picture of a baguette, which was actually a pretzel, but it looked like a small wand baguette, and they made pretzel in the shape of wand, and it was so fun. I dueled my friend who was with me with a pretzel, so it was really fun.
Well, it's not really something I'm specifically doing, but Elizabeth was editing together the video of our Ranking the Beasts episode to share
That's going to be Patreon. Coming there too. That's going to be fun.
Yeah, so you can see the ranking as we talk about it. It might be a little bit easier to follow along.
I should go through I took the kids to see Magic at Play. I should go through. I think there were some beasts in there. I bet I have some pictures of me and the kids looking at the beasties that were at Magic at Play. But all right, that's it. That's all for today. I'm Carolyn.
I'm Marjolaine.
And I'm Shannon. Case closed.
Come, little beasties, I'll take thee away into a land with enchantments, into a land with fantastic